Roman Catholic authority comes back to the concept that Peter was the first pope and successive popes after him were infallible. Is this a credible belief backed by solid evidence or a mere claim based on faulty Bible interpretation and propaganda? Today, we're going to look at the hard evidence for the sake of souls.
This is going to be a very, very important broadcast, especially for all of our Catholic friends. In case you're not aware of it, I myself am coming from a Roman Catholic background. I was born into a Catholic family. I was water baptized as a Catholic. I was raised a Roman Catholic. In the early part of my life, up until my early 20s, I was a Roman Catholic. In fact, I remember saying at one point in time, I would die a Roman Catholic. I started to read the Catholic Bible. And because I started to read the Catholic Bible, all of a sudden, my eyes opened up to truth. I was surprised by the truth in God's Word, which contradicted so violently what I was taught. Not only in the Baltimore Catechism, but the things that the priests had taught us. But today, for the sake of the 1.3 billion Catholics, I have a special message for them. Bear in mind, folks, there's supposed to be worldwide 2.2 billion Christians on the face of the earth. That means that 59% of all those that profess to be Christian, allegedly making up the body of Christ, are Catholic. In case you're not aware of it, the Roman Catholic Church has set itself apart, exalting itself authority-wise in a very, very unusual way. If those claims are true, we should all be Catholic. If they are not true, then Catholicism falls apart at the seams and disintegrates. Those claims are that extreme and that serious. Let's take a look at what they claim and see if the Roman Catholic Church really is credible or deceptive, unreliable, and imaginary in the things that they say. Is there really any substantial evidence for what was told to nearly 1.3 billion people from around the world? We're going to find out today. Catholicism exerts for itself the title, the Church, meaning that it is the true religious society instituted by Christ, and all others are inferior and or heretical. The Roman Catholic Church calls itself the mother and teacher of all churches. Hence, they call themselves the Holy Mother Church. Their pope is supposed to be the visible head of the whole church on the planet, who they claim is the successor of Peter, who they say was the very first pope. They allege that their pope is infallible, that is, incapable of making a mistake or being wrong in matters of faith and morals when they speak ex cathedra. They call the pope Holy Father, quote unquote. By the way, that's the same exact title Jesus gave to God the Father in John chapter 17:11. Not good. Catholics also call their pope Pontifex Maximus. That is Latin for the greatest pontiff, which also means the greatest high priest. If you ever read the book of Hebrews, at least a half a dozen times, Jesus is the one and only unique high priest. So for the pope to be called the greatest high priest, another serious problem. I'll give you a scripture that shows Jesus is the high priest, Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. The only high priest they confess was Jesus. They didn't confess another one. Catholics also call their pope His Holiness, the Vicar of Christ, Sovereign of the State of the Vatican City, Successor of the Prince of the Apostles, Supreme Pontiff of the Universal Church, and the list goes on. And Catholics have been taught that there is a succession of the papacy. And again, beginning with Peter, on down to the present day, and then after the current pope dies, the other popes that would follow him, they also would be in the succession of Peter. There is nothing, zero, in the Word of God that says that. Nothing about a succession to the papacy or even the office of a papacy. We're going to look at the primary scripture, Matthew 16:18, that the Roman Catholic Church uses for backing for their belief that Peter was the first pope. Also, let it be known that the pope sits on a throne between two golden cherubim. Did you know that? He does. In Isaiah 37, verse 16, the Bible says this about Almighty God. O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. But in Roman Catholicism, they've actually made a throne for the Pope, and they have golden cherubim to the right and left of him. According to the evidence, the Word of God, We're going to continue on, but we're going to see that not only the present pope, but previous popes have been and are false teachers and blatant idolaters who embrace a title and a religious position that is non-existent in the Bible. The extreme authoritative claims for Catholicism continue on. Listen to this. Not only do they say that the Pope is infallible when he speaks in matters of faith and moral ex cathedra, but also they say this. Their claim is that their ecumenical Catholic councils approved by the Pope are also infallible, and that the Roman Catholic Church weeds out error and preserves truth. It declares their tradition, which they call sacred tradition, on an equal spiritual authority of the Bible. They say it's the Bible and their sacred tradition. Folks, all these things are a myth, a mere empty claim, but that's what they say. They also say that only the Roman Catholic Church has the authority to accurately interpret the scripture. Now notice that. If you believe that, you're hooked. That's exactly the same thing that the Jehovah's Witnesses are taught. The Watchtower headquarters teaches the Jehovah's Witnesses that only the Watchtower headquarters can correctly interpret the Bible, and the Catholic authorities teach Catholics the only ones that can correctly interpret the Bible are the Catholic authorities. That is a cultic belief. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible was written in a way that common man can read the Bible, and as they seek God, they will find God when they seek Him with all their heart. And the Holy Spirit will be there to teach when you repent, when you draw near to Jesus, when you turn from your sins and commit to Jesus Christ and look to Him for your salvation, and you read the scriptures, you're going to see more and more truth. It will wash out false concepts from your mind, whatever they might be. However you were raised, if you were raised Catholic or Hindu or whatever it was, atheist, you get in the Bible, you get the truth, and your mind will be illuminated with that truth. Let me go on. The Roman Catholic Church also claims that the Bible must be interpreted according to the unanimous agreement of the fathers or the unanimous consent of the fathers. And of course, to them, the quote-unquote fathers are the people that they themselves have given that title to. In other words, the so-called fathers were previous Catholic in doctrine. Not all of them, as I'll show you later. Some of them definitely opposed other so-called fathers of the faith. That is a pure 100% myth that there's unanimous agreement among the church fathers. So the Roman Catholic Church teaches that the Bible must be interpreted in accord to Catholic doctrine. Imagine that. The Catholic Church also claims for itself the authority to pronounce anathemas, and that is hundreds of anathemas, on some of the most dedicated and God-fearing, Bible-believing people. Just the Council of Trent condemned all people who are not Catholic. There is at least 100 anathemas against everybody that is not a Catholic. That's one of their Catholic councils approved by the Pope, which is supposed to be infallible. So if what they're saying is true, then only Catholics can have salvation, which of course goes hand in hand with some of the things the Catholic Church has said and emphasized in the past. When I was growing up a Catholic, that is exactly what we were taught. All of us were clearly taught before Vatican Council II that only Roman Catholics, that is those in subjection to the Roman Pontiff, can have salvation, and everybody else will be lost. That's what we were taught. And that is exactly a Catholic doctrine. At least three different popes said that. Not only that, but on the other hand, the Roman Catholic Church has made further judgments on people, deeming them holy and sound in doctrine and declaring them saints after their death. Imagine that. According to the Bible, a saint is a person that is physically alive. We're a saint this side of the grave. You don't become a saint afterwards because you were canonized. The list goes on and on and on with all this. It's just shocking the different things that they have said. Now, when Vatican Council II came along in 1962 to 1965, it has muddied the waters. People should not be deceived by some of the terminology and the things done at Vatican Council II. Vatican Council II reaffirmed the previous church councils, including Trent, and no doctrinal changes were made at all. Just surface changes, that's all. They changed the Latin Mass to an English Mass. They might say, Hallelujah. They might have Mass also on Saturday night and not just on Sunday like it was before. But it's very important to know that Vatican Council II reaffirmed the Council of Trent. That's the council where all these anathemas were pronounced on non-Catholics. So for people to think that Vatican Council II is more liberal, that they're really not as bad as they were at one time in the past, just do the deduction here. What's the conclusion? If Vatican Council II reaffirmed the Council of Trent and the Council of Trent condemned all non-Catholics, then Vatican Council II is really teaching that all non-Catholics are anathematized. They're condemned. So all of this, the anathemas and condemning people to hell, this reeks with excessive and extreme cultic characteristics. The Roman Catholic Church boldly advertises itself as the one and only true church, and it will condemn you to hell through their anathemas if you don't agree with them. They teach they are it, and you better join them because of propaganda like what you just heard from their point of view. And again, they might take issue on even the meaning anathema. But you look up the word anathema before Vatican Council II. I'm not making any of these things up, folks. I wanted to stay a Roman Catholic. Remember that. I was born a Catholic, wanted to stay a Catholic, and what changed me was reading the Bible. That's how I found salvation. The Roman Catholic Church has a so-called plan of salvation, if you want to call it that, through their sacraments, which leaves a person empty and dry and addicted to their sin addictions. That won't bring salvation at all. If any Catholic ever comes to salvation, they heard the real plan of salvation outside the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church does not embrace the true plan of salvation. The bottom line authority verse that the Roman Catholic Church uses for their belief that they are the church, they are the one and only, and that Peter was the first pope, and that there's a succession of popes after Peter, is Matthew 16:18. Let me just back up to verse 16. That's Matthew 16:16. Peter made the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said in Matthew 16:18-19, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the Catholic Church says, see, Peter is where the church was built. He's the first pope, and he was given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. But folks, what Jesus was referring to, what the church would be built upon, was the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Not Peter himself. And Peter himself never thought of himself as a pope. And neither did the other apostles. None of the other apostles looked at Peter as a pope. In fact, the only church council that should have any authority over any professing Christian's life is found in Acts 15, the council at Jerusalem. And Peter, who was supposed to be the first pope but wasn't, never presided over that church council. Imagine that. So what we have propaganda, we have false claims, and 1.3 billion sincere people, some very devout people. People that are reaching out to God and trying to get into God's kingdom have been hoodwinked. They have swallowed hook, line, and sinker the things that they've heard. They heard it even from some of these people like Billy Graham and the 700 Club and other ones that are fraternizing with the Catholic Church, treating the Catholic priests and other authorities like that as though they were sound in doctrine and teaching the same message as the Bible. That is absolutely not true. I say that as kind as I can. I'm not saying these things to hurt you. I'm saying these things only for one reason, to help you. Please consider the things that I'm saying. I know the truth hurts. I know what it's like to hear things that's contrary to the Catholic belief, because I was there myself. But folks, what you're about to hear, and you have already heard, is truth. We should never understand Matthew 16:18 as the Roman Catholic Church interprets it. This is from the Amplified Bible, and you can verify it if you want. Look in the Greek text. The Amplified Bible says from Matthew 16:18, I tell you that you are Peter, Petros, masculine, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Petra, feminine, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church. It does not say that Peter is the rock upon which Jesus will build his church. Peter is masculine, and the feminine Petra, a different type of rock, is what Jesus will build his church upon. And what could that be? Of course, God is a rock all through the Bible. But if you check the context, Matthew 16:16, it goes back to the rock that is the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that is what the church is built upon. It's built upon Jesus, who Jesus of Nazareth really is. Of course, he's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, but he is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of David. He's the one that would die for our sins. He is the Redeemer.
Did you know that Pope John Paul II actually taught Mary was sovereign and is co-redeemer? Does the Bible really teach that? Let's return to Brother Dan Corner to find out that and much more.
As shocking as it might sound to some, the Roman Catholic Church does not teach that redemption was paid for fully and completely by Jesus' blood. No. That might be a shock to even some devout Catholics. The Roman Catholic Church officially teaches that Mary and Jesus together paid for man's redemption. Now, I know that's a shock to you, but that is true. Listen carefully, but do not believe the following audio clip from a Franciscan priest about Pope John Paul II and the Catholic Mary.
The Venerable John Paul II called Our Lady co-redemptrix 6 times in his public discourses. He said, quote, "Her role as co-redemptrix did not cease with the glorification of her Son." Now he means by that even after the accomplishment of the acquisition of the graces of redemption at Calvary, Our Lady's co-redemptive role continues in the distribution of those saving graces to the hearts of humanity, or more specifically, as the mediatrix of all graces.
That alone, besides these false claims of authority and a misuse of Matthew 16:18, should be enough to shake any Catholic to the core. If you just know a slight bit of biblical information, just a little bit of the Word of God, you should know that redemption was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, only the blood of Jesus Christ, and Mary's sufferings had nothing to do with the forgiveness of sins. So again, even if we look at Matthew 16:18, apart from the context, which the context definitely does not support the idea that Peter was an infallible pope in faith and morals and that he was the leader of the apostles. If you just look to the rest of the New Testament, you'll see that that's an impossibility. So the second witness disproving any idea that the authority of the Roman Catholic Church, the papacy, has any credibility. It has zero credibility because, number one, if you read the only two epistles that Peter wrote, that's 1st and 2nd Peter, you will see, among other things, that Peter never mentioned Mary or referred to Mary in the slightest way. Folks, when was the last time in your lifetime you ever heard of a pope that never mentioned Mary, never magnified Mary? Pope John Paul II repeatedly talked about Mary. He preached about Mary all the time, but that was not like Peter the Apostle. Peter the Apostle was in the truth. Peter the Apostle represented the real Word of God, the message that God wants us to believe and receive. And his message is diametrically opposed to the message of the popes. Not only Pope John Paul II, all of them. Please check it out for yourself. Read 1st and 2nd Peter. But not only that, read through the book of Acts. If you read the first half of the book of Acts especially, you'll see where Peter gave a number of salvation sermons. Many statements he gave shows, along with Paul afterwards, what salvation is and what salvation isn't. But with Peter, again, you will see that never in any way, shape, or form, when he was teaching about salvation, did he even mention Mary? The Catholic Church actually teaches that Mary is the mediatrix and dispenser of all grace. Folks, we're saved by grace. And if someone's teaching a plan of salvation and they don't mention Mary, if Mary truly was the mediatrix and dispenser of all grace, you would certainly think that they would. And perhaps if they neglected to do it one time, certainly a second or third time they would. But no, never, not even one time. Not only did Peter not do that, neither did Paul, neither did Philip, neither did Stephen or anyone else in the book of Acts or anywhere in the entire Bible. Nowhere, it's not there, but that is the Catholic teaching. Not only is Matthew 16:18 a very important scripture for Roman Catholics, but verse 19 as well, which refers to the keys to the kingdom. And the keys to the kingdom, according to that verse, is so that there can be binding and loosening. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And the Catholics, of course, would say that was uniquely given to Peter. Is that true, folks? Is it true? In Matthew 18:18, Jesus said this, "I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So Jesus is telling the subjects, a group of people, the disciples, it wasn't just him alone. Now, Peter might have been there. It probably was, but it wasn't just him. So it wasn't just uniquely Peter that was given that ability to bind and to loosen. This is given to all disciples and not just Peter. Matthew 18:1 says, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" So folks, again, there's holes all through this idea that Peter was the first pope. And if Peter wasn't the first pope, if Peter wasn't the first pope, do you realize that this authority structure of Roman Catholicism falls apart? This is all a sham that these popes are the vicar of Christ, that they're the visible head of the body of Christ, that they're teaching truth. Folks, you got to go to the Word of God. If you're going to get the truth, if you're really going to know what God says about salvation and about spiritual things, you need to read it firsthand. Don't trust another, even though they might be loving toward you, like your mom and dad, the priest, your nuns, whoever they might be. You got to go to the Bible because they could be wrong. Your loving parents could have raised you in a false religion. And if you were raised in a Roman Catholic church, unfortunately, that is the case. Catholics are in trouble. It's that simple. They're in trouble because they don't know what the Word of God is. They have been presented with false claims, propaganda, and partial truths. Let me give you an example of how Catholic tradition contradicts the Word of God. Now, the Catholic Church teaches the Bible, the scriptures actually complement their sacred traditions. But folks, the rosary is part of their traditional belief. And the rosary never began until at least 1,000 years after Jesus died on the cross. Did you hear that? Nobody in first century Christianity prayed the rosary. Nobody ever heard of the rosary. It would never existed. And believe it or not, Jesus actually taught against the rosary. And how did he do that, you ask? Well, listen to this. Matthew 6:6-8. Jesus said, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And again, that's Matthew 6:6-8. So Jesus actually taught that it is a sin to pray this way. If you pray repetitiously, thinking that God's going to hear you because of your many words, that is a sin that is contrary to how Jesus taught to pray. And not only that, Jesus said when you pray, pray to your Father. Jesus never taught to pray to Mary, the saints, or angels like Catholics do. Never. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Never, never is that taught. So Catholic tradition has people praying to Mary, the saints, and angels. Now let me just digress for a moment. It really bothers me when I hear Catholics say that Catholics don't pray to Mary. Folks, I was a Catholic. There are hundreds of prayers to Mary, asking Mary for a number of things, including salvation and deliverance from hell and for forgiveness. That is fact. That is indisputable. So Catholics have been taught to not only pray to Mary, but also pray to saints and to angels, sad as that might be. Now let me interject something else. If you are praying to Mary at the same time 50,000 other Catholics are also praying to Mary, Mary would have to be omniscient, that is all-knowing, to hear all those prayers. That means you are ascribing to a mere creature the attribute of God because only God is all-knowing. That is a form of idolatry. So notice how far this so-called sacred tradition has led the sincere followers of Roman Catholicism. They have now been led away from what Jesus said about how to pray, and they've been led into a pagan idea that a mere creature can hear numerous people praying at the same time, believing that that mere creature has omniscience, an attribute of Almighty God. That's what tradition has done. The Catholic Church will point to two scriptures from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and also chapter 3, where it talks about tradition. I say to them, it is impossible for them to prove that this is referring to the tradition that they call tradition. Not only the rosary, which I already pointed out, a fabrication that started around 1090 AD. What about the brown scapular? What about all these other ideas that happened long after the death of the Lord Jesus and his apostles, such as the false concept that Mary was sinless, that Mary was assumed into heaven, that Mary is co-redeemer, which I've already mentioned. Folks, there's something very, very wrong. You cannot have two divinely inspired truths in contradiction one with the other. Either one is wrong or the other is wrong, or they're both wrong, but they both can't be right. And since we know the Bible is right, Catholic tradition cannot also be right, as it is claimed by Roman Catholicism. The Roman Catholic Church has a false authority structure. Their structure for their authority, the papacy, is not based on Scripture. They misuse Matthew 16, 18, and 19. They claim Peter was a pope when Peter did not act like a pope. He did not teach like a pope. He could not have been a pope. It's absolutely impossible. The tradition that they exalt, that they embrace, that they love, they call the rosary the epitome of the whole gospel. Folks, that's unbelievable, especially when the rosary would have people believe that Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. That is incredible error. Jesus is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. If you believe the Hail Holy Queen prayer, which is part of the rosary prayer, you will be lost. The focus in the Bible is on Jesus. Mary is not the same as Jesus. You have to look to Jesus, not to Mary, and you don't go to Mary to get to Jesus. The dying thief never went to Mary to get to Jesus. In the natural, you could say this, you know, if you're sick, you go to the doctor. You don't go to the doctor's mother, you go to the doctor. And all through the Bible, we see that. We see where everybody pointed people to Jesus. Even the real Mary, mother of Jesus, pointed people to Jesus, not to herself. She pointed people to Jesus. Whatever he says, do it. John chapter 2, verse 5. Whatever he says. So folks, that's what I'm trying to get you to do. Look to Jesus. Jesus is the one you got to look to. And if you believe the Catholic tradition, if you believe the misuse that they have presented and these claims that they have presented, that they've taught 1.3 billion people about themselves, you're finished. So a Catholic has to get past this idea that the Roman Catholic Church is the one and only and unique teaching authority on the whole planet, and that the Pope is the leader. Believe it or not, there was a Pope named Honorius I, and he reigned from 625 to 638. Pope Honorius was anathematized at the Third Council of Constantinople in 680. Did you get that? A Catholic Church council anathematized a previous Pope. That would be impossible if Catholic doctrine was sound or even consistent.
Brother Dan Corner is a former Roman Catholic who wanted to stay a Catholic but departed from Catholicism based on biblical evidence. He was surprised by the truth and was gloriously delivered by God from his sin addictions and found salvation when he acted upon biblical truth. You can contact him at Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301, or go to evangelicaloutreach.org.